Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Zivachim, Daf Zayin, Zivachim 7, and on today's Daf Yomi on Zayin Amud Beis, Rava teaches us basic concepts about two offerings, the Ola offering and the Chatas offering. So what is an Ola offering and what is a Chatas offering? So as a basic background to this concept, the Ola means that it is all goes up as a complete elevation offering to God, that it is entirely burnt. The Ola is something which is the holiest of all offerings. It's categorized as a Kodesh Kadashim, according to the Rambam in Maaseh Karbonos, chapter 1, law 17. And its entire limbs, all the meat, everything is burnt to Hashem. The Ola can be a neder, it could be a vow, it could be a voluntary offering, and it can also come as an obligation, as an obligatory offering. And indeed, our tractate has been discussing that on some level it serves as some sort of atonement for people who do not have not fulfilled a positive commandment that they were required to do. The other type of offering that Rava discusses on today's Daf Yomi is a sin offering, a chatas. A chatas is also a category that is considered a sacrifice that is kodesh kodashim, the holiest of offerings. But the crucial distinction is that there are certain that the chatas comes to atone for a sin. If a person has done a sin that needs atonement, then a chatas is brought. Generally speaking, we say that a fixed chatas, a fixed sin offering, comes for any sin which, if it was done intentionally, the punishment would be kares, death from heaven. Then if it is done accidentally, a korban chatas, this sin offering, must be brought. There are different types of chatas. One, if it is what's called a chatas chitzona, a chatas where the blood is sprinkled on the outer altar, then the kohen eats certain parts of the flesh of that animal, but the rest is burnt, but the kohen eats certain parts of it, as opposed to a chatas penimis, an inner sin offering, where the blood is sprinkled on either the inner altar, the golden altar inside the sanctuary of the temple, and corresponding also to the curtain of the hechal, and certain ones, they are sprinkled in the Holy of Holies themselves. By the chatas penimis, the inner altar, we say it's entirely burnt. All the flesh of it is burnt. So this is the Ola offering and the chatas offering. So Rava tells us, even though we've seen in our Gemara that on some level the Ola does serve as an atonement as well for certain positive commandments, nevertheless, Rava says that the Ola is a doronhi, that the Ola is a gift to God, that the main point of why we bring an Ola is to bring somebody closer to God. Even though we say that, generally speaking, atonement brings somebody closer to God, but the Ola is an extra step. After a person has repented, they want to come even closer, and so then they bring this Ola offering. And as Rava explains, Hechi Dami, what are we talking about? Idaleka Tshuva, if there was no repentance, then if the person has sinned and they haven't repented, he's still wicked and his offering is useless, because it states in Proverbs 21, verse 27, Zevach Rashayim Toeva, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. So don't come to God with a sacrifice and say, I'm so holy, I'm bringing an offering, if you haven't done any atonement for it, if you haven't repented. Ve'i de'ika tshuva, but if you have repented, then you should be achieve atonement even without an Ola. Then why would you need an Ola? Because the repentance that you have done is sufficient. As it states, Hatanya, Avar al mitzvahs asei v'shav, if you've done a positive commandment and you've repented, lozaz misham ad shemochon, that you do not move anywhere until you achieve atonement. And so we see from here that what is the purpose of the Ola? It can't be to atone, because we see that the atonement without repentance is useless, and it also can't be that you need it in order to atone, because we say the repentance itself works. So what is the reason that the Ola comes? Says our Talmud, Shema Mina Doronu. It's just a gift. It's a gift. It's not to achieve atonement. It's not to achieve repentance, but it's just a gift to God from the person. Why is the person giving a gift to God? So the Gemara cites a brisa that supports supports Rava's teaching, and this is a braisa from Rabbi Shimon. He says, Rabbi Shimon says, Chatos Lama Ba. He says, why do we need to bring a sin offering? And so the Gemara says, Lama Ba, what do you mean, why do we need to bring a sin offering? It's coming Lachaper, it's the Chatos, the sin offering is coming to achieve atonement. So he says, no, but why is it the case that every time there's a sin offering and an O offering, every time there's a requirement to bring both a sin offering and an Ola offering, that the sin offering needs to be brought and sacrificed before the Ola offering? So Lama Ba Lifnei Ola. So he says the answer is as follows. It's similar to the following situation. Leprakut Shenichnas. If you have a person who is an interceder, somebody who comes and is like your defense attorney to the king and talks on your behalf, Shenichnas, and he goes before the king to discuss something on your behalf, reads a proclet nichnas doron achrov, that once the interceder has appeased the king, then you bring a gift after you to the king. And so that's the chatas. The chatas is to sort of calm down the king, God, and then afterwards you go in and bring your gift. And this is what Rashi writes about the Ola on this Gemara. Rashi says, Eina bal chaper al asei kapar mamash. It's not an actual atonement, but rather, achar shekafra tshuva al asei, after the repentance has done an atonement, he balak boas panim, it comes to bring us even closer to God. Like somebody, Adam Shasirach Bamelach, somebody who has upset the king, and then he appeases him via advisors, and then when he wants to come closer before God, he brings another gift. So the Ola offering is an extra step. We've achieved atonement, but we want to come even closer into God's presence. That's what the Ola offering is about.